So one of the things we paid attention to, or what we paid attention to over the week, was how to read your Bible. Did that help you, Sister Ramide and Sister JT? The series, the entire week. It helped you. How many did you listen to, Sister JT? Three. How many did you listen to? Three. And you'll be like, before I did the series for... Please, I beg you. Go back. I beg you. Go back and listen to everything. All right, but I'm going to do a recap. We said the Bible is a very interesting book that needs certain principles to interpret it. We said the Bible was written in English. Is that true?
Yes.
Right? We said the Bible was written in Hebrew and Greek. Right? And we said the Bible was written in chapters and verses.
Yes.
Who divided the Bible into... Don't check your notes. I said it three times. This is Bishop Stephen. You are bringing a nickname. Bishop of Canterbury. Yeah, so Stephen Langton was the one that what? Divided the Bible into chapters. And Robert what? Stephanos. Robert Stephanos divided the Bible into verses. What century? 13th century. And the 16th for the verses in century. Okay, that's good. Now one of the things we said as well, one of the things we said as well is that the Bible is a book that needs to, you need to understand the background of the things that are said. We said the Bible wasn't written to you. Is that true?
Yeah.
And it wasn't written to my world. It wasn't written to an English audience.
Yeah.
It was written to, it was written with a Middle Eastern what? Bias. So we started looking at some of the words that's used in the Bible, right? We looked at the use of numbers. Is that true?
Yeah.
We said the use of thousands in their world does not mean as much thousands as we use in our world.
Yeah.
I would say the word thousand is the word elef.
Yeah.
Elephant, elef. Remember that? I would say elef is a word that has four translations or four meanings. But the best one we stuck with was the word?
Military
unit or battalion. I would say the military unit in their world consists of how many people?
Six to 15 people.
But we found an average and we just stayed with 10.
Okay.
So we said that if that's the case, it means that Moses did not lead 2 million people out of Egypt. You see that? Right? Because the Bible says 600,000 men, minus wives and children, minus children, basically, all together. So if you put all those numbers together, you realize that the population of Egypt at the time would not have been in the 5 of millions all together. Now, who brought Israelites into the Egyptian world?
Jacob,
beautiful. How many children did he come with?
70.
No, don't be fat. I knew you would jump at 70. I gave it to you to eat. No, how many of his children did he come with?
11.
So okay, wait. How many children did Jacob or does Jacob have in the Bible?
12.
Right? How many children did he go with to Egypt?
11.
Why was it 11? Joseph was already in Egypt.
Yes.
But
okay.
So you're answering the question understanding Genesis. Okay. So how many souls did the Bible say he went with?
70.
He went to 70 souls, okay? And we said that's when the number was multiplied, then the Hebrew woman concept came around. Right? And we said the Hebrew woman concept is a doctrine built on a lie in our world today, because your world is not their world. Remember that teaching, right? So we said that the people that Moses took through the promised land. So who was Moses? Moses was a man born in Exodus chapter 2. We said that Moses' mother put him in the ark of what? Bulrushes. Remember that teaching? Ark of bulrushes, right? And what did I link that to?
Noah's
ark. So people followed. I thought it was only me that was just... Okay, I would say that word is the same word used for Noah's Ark. It means we need to go back to reinvestigate Noah's Ark. My first teaching on Noah's Ark was prepared in 2018, and to today I have not taught it. Amen?
Yeah.
See, why am I saying these things for you to hear? So that you will know how you need to be patient as a disciple. You don't just teach because you know. My first investigating Noah, Noah's Ark was ready in 2018, but I've never taught it. Okay, so if you go back to scriptures, you'll find out that the use of ark in the Bible is not necessarily in our world as used as a ship. So would it be that there was no ship? Could it be or could it not be? Right? We said the Tower of Babel was a concept that is taught. I remember that teaching, right?
Yes.
They didn't come together to build the Tower of Babel. They didn't come together to build it. It is when it was scattered that it now became, or they were given that name. So what did they come together to build? Like we told you, in their world, there was no skyscraper. Their knowledge was not that far gone ahead that they were thinking of building a building that would get from the earth to the heavens. However, they were building a building for the heavens to come into the earth. And you find that out properly. You find out that's the way the use of temple, right? Shrine, right, is used in the Bible. So what they were building was a place to host the supernatural world, which is what you call the union between the earth and the heavens. Are we together?
Yes.
Good to know you follow. Then we said something again around them. We said this in passing as well about Noah's children. Remember that? I know we all grew up learning that Noah's son went to laugh at him when he was naked. And we said nakedness in our world is to be without what? Clothes. But I took it to Leviticus, right? Leviticus 20 to show you how they use the word naked. If a man sleeps with his uncle's wife, he has seen his uncle's nakedness. Right? So if a man sleeps with his father's wife, he has seen his father's nakedness. Do you understand all those things here? Yeah? We've not taught it in context, but I just give you a few things to open up your minds to see. That means you will not pick the things in the Bible, everything as literal. Noah's like, just thinking that flood covered the earth. Think about it, a flood covered the earth. A flood covered the earth. A flood covered the earth. And the boat was just going up above the water. You know, so if you go through scriptures around, you find out that some things are not as written as we all were, we're not written with the interpretation we have in our world today. Don't get in trouble, don't worry, we'll teach it. Don't worry, don't get in trouble, we'll teach it. All together. So you'll find out that there are lots of things that we've grown up learning from the Yellow Book. How many of you read the Yellow Book? If you didn't read the Yellow Book, wasn't that taught you read the Yellow Book?
Yeah.
That's what they used to build your scheme. Yeah, the Yellow Book, right? That Yellow Book that they drew Adam,
an apple.
And you know, people ran with, and a snake crawled around the tree, and people ran with it, and people still run with it today.
Yes.
Are we together? Right? So you must understand the use of Bible words, they were not intended to communicate to you. So for you to make sense of the Bible, you have to go back to their word. How are words used? Oh, so this is what nakedness means. Okay, I see. Oh, this is what flood was used to represent in the Bible. So it means we're going to need to explain flood, we'll explain Noah, we'll explain rainbow. And some of you, when you see rainbow now, you just remember. Like God said, not destroy the earth. Are there not cities that are destroyed with water?
Yeah.
If you go back in the last 10 years, go back to the last 20 years, there are nations that have been destroying water. How many of you know this country? Haiti.
Haiti,
right? Is that pronunciation? Yeah.
Yeah.
All together. Yeah, maybe after then, the rainbow has not been showing. But man, I can remember I've seen rainbow recently. You get that? But even our thing, the rainbow was used to speak about God not destroying the earth again. Okay, somebody will now say, well, he said the entire earth. I mean, some part can be destroyed, some part cannot be destroyed. But God says he will not destroy the earth. Right? We'll now look through scriptures. What was, so God gave Noah dimensions to build an ark. What exactly was Noah building? God gave Noah certain dimensions. Is that not true? He must be this tall, this width, this whatever it is. What is the Bible teaching? We will get there. Say, we will get there.
Yeah.
Let me show you Philippians 3. How many of you used to use Philippians 3 as prayer point before that service? You still use Philippians 3 as prayer point. So look at, let's quickly do Philippians 3. Do you all understand I can do all things?
Yes.
That's clear, right?
Yeah.
I can do all things that what he's speaking about. That's Philippians 4. Look at Philippians 3. Our next question, answer question, I beg you, don't ask me about Noah. don't write a question about Noah and ask me. Because I will not answer it. Yeah, I would rather take our time. But, you know, like I said, was it this week I said we might go back to Salvation Season 2? Was it this week I said it?
No, the last question.
Okay. We have our longest teaching so far as a church is a Salvation Series, 73 tracks. We want to pick it up again from track 74, right? but it'll be track one, season two. So that you will not get scared. Right? So we'll pick it up. It might be our next series, but maybe before the end of this year or early next year, we'll pick it up again. That's going to probably run through the next year. Yeah? But pray for us. All together. It might change. Yeah? We're in August. Ideally, from last... So every year, by October and November, I design the template of our series for every month in the local church. Then I do that for Nigeria as well, get it approved and send it to them as well. Right? And for us, we're supposed to have done 8 series this year. These are our third series. Is that true? Mm-hmm. These are our third series. We did local church for 4 months. Did Believers Authority for about 2 months. About there, right? Then we started engaging the streets and now we're in, these are third. So we're five series behind. But I'm not scared. Yeah, like I said, why am I saying these things, right? You see, everybody listening to me is supposed to be a discipler. Look at that model. Don't always look for the newest thing that you've learned in church and go and look for what to disturb. You can have people you can discuss it with and bounce off ideas through. But not the person that just got born again. The first thing God tell him is, no, I did not have flood. Noah, when we grew up believing Noah had flood, you cannot say explain. You explain, no evidence. You explain. You know, so it's very important for you to be patient. Be patient. Yeah, look at Philippians 3. Now, I gave you a principle in Bible interpretation. The Bible was written in chapters and verses. So a good way to know the meaning of a verse is to go back to the previous verses and be trying to check where can you start that conversation from. Yeah? So look at Philippians chapter 4. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made comfortable unto his death. We grew up learning or using the scripture for prayer points, prayer verses. Oh, Paul says that I may know him. But like I said, this is one of Paul's last letters. Right? What would Paul have meant after serving Jesus for the years he did, and towards the end, he's now saying, I want to know Jesus. Mm. But if we go back to verse 9, and be found in him, well, that's a very tricky place to start. Yea, doubtless, verse 8, and I can account all things but loss for the excellency. Well, tricky. But what things, verse 7? So we did that backwards, Philippians 4, 3. We now went back to verse 1. Did it make sense from verse 1? Remember now, Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. What did he say there? Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not what? Grievous. But it is what? For you it is safe. So when your pastor is repeating the same thing over and over, when your leaders are repeating the same things over and over, it is safety for you. Are we together? Look at verse 2. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. Now, beware of dogs. Animal? Yeah? So beware of dog is not what you put in your compound. You know, you can mix the Bible properly and just make sense to your mind. You know, you can say, the Bible says, watch and pray. And Bible says, beware of dogs. That means you put security dog in your house before you go for evening devotion. What are you doing when you are watching and praying? As you are praying, God preserve and protect us. What do you do? You put dog, you have backup. The real question is, who is the backup? Is it the dog or God? I was together. So we said that you need to, you've learned about watch and pray, right? What does it mean to watch and pray? Watch, to watch is to pray. Watch and pray does not mean open your eye when you're looking for husband or wife. So you watch, so look at the red flags. Red flags. What are the red flags? When he yawns, it doesn't cover his mouth. Red flag. Imagine we just wake up and just yawn.
Oh, Jesus.
Red flag. Yeah. So people say all manners of things. Red flag is he doesn't have a job. I didn't say God believe for people that don't have a job. I don't say everything goes. What I said. You know, but because we don't understand the scriptures properly, we thought that the rib of a man is what? The physical rib. Are we together? In their world, they didn't know the knowledge of brain. Adam could not list the part of his body. Do you understand? Right? So in their world, when Moses will teach you about rib, what's the background of Genesis?
Exodus.
Why is Exodus the background of Genesis? Because Moses who wrote Genesis was born in
Exodus
in Egypt. So Moses was born in Egypt, and by default, that means he learned the ways of Egypt. How many years did Moses stay in the king's house in Egypt? 40. Right? You know what it is to live 40 years of your life in the palace? The way you will see life will be a palace way.
Yeah.
That means you will go to the best of schools. So Moses went to the best of schools. We saw that in Acts 7. The Bible says that Moses was well taught in the knowledge of the Egyptians. So he will use the knowledge of school to come back and communicate to Israelites in another world. So when he'll be speaking to them, and Adam fell into a deep sleep. They're not taking sleep that is long. And God tore up the skin. They didn't have the knowledge of skin being torn. Talk more of knowing what is behind the skin when it is torn. You get the point? So Moses could not have said, for the rib was taken from the side of Adam. And what they were thinking was, God disconnected one rib, then created another woman. That would be troublesome. All together. Because it means if you miss your rib, you've missed it forever. If you marry, people that marry three wives, that means God removed three of their ribs. That's trouble now. You are married what? You married that people's rib. Then that people will be ribless. You know, it takes one person to miss it and everybody miss it.
Yeah, very true.
Once one person misses his rib, everybody will, are you my rib? Let me check this well. That one, your wife is behaving one way. You don't wonder, you're not my rib. Right? So when Moses will say, the rib of my ribs, right? He's not speaking about the physical bone that is cutting from the skeleton of a man. When he spoke into their world, they will be hearing the side of a temple, Salah, or the side of a building. That's the language of their world. Temple. Shrine. In our world, we call it cathedral. They didn't call it cathedral in their world. All together. Right? So a lot of people have gone haywire thinking that, you know, before God removed your rib, he gave you work. Yeah. What work are you doing? Mm. If your boyfriend is not working, it's not God's will for your life. Yeah. I didn't just say if he's not working, it's God's will. Mm-hmm. Right? But I'm just trying to say the factors that you choose or you used to choose, right, are the template in scriptures. Not the found in the Lord, not the found in Christ, not the committed to the things of God. Right, not the one who say, I have to get married a Muslim. You say, one day God will change him for me. You, they've been trying to change you with the gospel. They've been trying to use gospel to change you. See where you still are. As somebody that is far away. Do you understand? So, but that's the knowledge. I just said that to just make you just remember that the Bible is a book that has a world in context. So Paul is speaking to a world, and when he says, beware of dogs, he explains who the dogs is talking about. And look at verse 2. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the circumcision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in what?
Spirit
and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and will put no confidence in the flesh. He says, though I might also have confidence. So Paul begins to say, if it comes to boasting, I can boast. I can have confidence in the flesh. If any man thinketh that he had whereof he might trust in the flesh. What did Paul say? That's a way to brag. He said,
I'm all
together, right? If you bring all your CVs, mind you, Paul does not know the private lives of people. So that's an extensive brag, and trust me, he's not joking. So what he says, he now begins to explain to you in case you miss it. He say, I was circumcised on the eighth day. So circumcision on the eighth day. Let me not ask this question this way. Because you will come and follow me out after church. So, when men are circumcised on the eighth day, listen to me carefully. Is that Bible knowledge or cultural knowledge?
Cultural knowledge.
Okay. Is circumcision on the eighth day taught in Bible?
Yes.
So, what is happening? The culture of man being portrayed in scriptures. Why is that the case? Because God will use the culture of men to communicate to men. You get that? If God were to speak to us about a temple, for instance, he could use this tripod. But this tripod will only make sense because tripod is a concept in our world.
Yeah.
Are we together? Right? You see, I saw in news recently, I don't know how true it is, but I saw in news of a doctor. I heard he did a surgery for a patient remotely. Oh, you were there?
It's possible because even in the NHS Lothian, they've started to do surgeries with using AI. So
AI.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't let me not talk. I'm not the assistant surgeon. But what I'm trying to say, the news was around that a doctor was in a different country, and he fixed his eyes in one of those 3D.
Yeah,
beautiful. Yeah. You know, so I call it 3D. Yeah. And he was operating on someone in another country.
Mm-hmm.
And that it is happening now, it will happen soon.
Yeah.
If God were to communicate his plan in that world, what you will find in the Bible that will be created then is not what you will find in the Bible that was created then.
Yeah.
Are we together? So God tolerates the culture of men.
Mm-hmm.
So why do you think men were predominant in the writings of scriptures? That's their culture.
Yes.
It's not God's will. You know, so what people are doing in our world right now is to pick that culture and make it God's plan.
Yeah.
I cannot, a woman cannot be my pastor.
Mm.
How can anyone be my leader? Mm. Show me one woman in the Bible that makes sense apart from
Esther.
Apart from Esther. If you don't go to Esther, you go to Ruth. You don't go to Ruth, you go to who?
Deborah.
Naomi.
Yeah, Deborah.
You can list them with your hands or Deborah.
Mm.
Are we together? Yeah? But the patriarchy world, is that a word?
Yeah.
Right? When it means patriarchy culture,
mm-hmm.
is a cultural concept, not God's intention.
Yeah.
Did you get me?
Yeah.
So when we want to interpret those instructions to women in quotes, or wives in quotes, we need to understand their world before we bring it into our world.
Mm.
All together. Yeah, you say, ask a question. If women are that important, why did Jesus not have one, just one woman as his disciple? No, I'm saying first, among his 12 disciples. Is that a question in your mind? Oh, it's not in your mind. Okay, put it away for now. Yeah, it's a valid question. Why did Jesus have only 12 disciples first and they were all men? Even the three he brought close to himself were all men. Somebody will say even Jesus is patriarchal.
Mm.
That Jesus, what is wrong with him? Yeah. But why do you think that's the case? That's the culture that Jesus found himself.
Yeah.
In their world, the report from the lips of a woman is not valid.
Yes.
If a woman said that man is dead, he's not. They go there and check it.
Yeah.
So they still consider that it is a lie until they find. That is why eventually, when women preached to the disciples, they doubted him. They doubted the woman.
Even when they announced Jesus was risen.
Are you with me? Are you here?
Yeah.
Are you here?
Yeah.
That's the culture. So Jesus would not have made a mistake to pick a woman among his 12.
Yes.
Because that will invalidate the work he is doing on the earth. But guess what he did? See what he did? The first human he appeared to from the dead
was a woman.
And guess what he said? He said, go and tell my men. Listen to that. So the first preacher of the resurrection after the resurrection was a woman. What was Jesus doing? He was bypassing the culture.
Yes.
Because ideally, it shouldn't be a woman to go report to the man that he is now alive. So he brings that balance. So if you don't understand these varieties in scriptures, that's why I said you can use the Bible to fight anything. What you call feminism today is something that is not a necessary conversation if you have a right understanding of the Bible.
Yes, sir.
And if at all it's a concept that should exist,
mm-hmm.
there should be a refined biblical way
mm-hmm.
to it. So in our culture today, for instance, it's a practice we've taken over the years. You find that in our generation now, we have more women working
yeah.
like men. or more than men. Sister Bim said more than men.
More than yes.
Let me put it to you today. You see, if you are one that is working more than a man to prove a point, just slow down. Learn the word. Learn the word. Learn the word. Okay? So in our world now, you know, how can you say, you know, people still have that bias of picking a man over a woman when they come for interviews. So ideally, you can't blame women who are trying to make those fights, but you must understand it's because the world is not as loud as it should be. So in their world, for instance, it's very easy to just, if you look at how the practice is, women take care of the children, men go for a walk.
Yeah.
That war in their world is work in our world.
Yeah.
In your parents' generation, most of them, a lot of them, the men, your fathers were the ones that, our fathers were the ones that worked. And our mothers were taking care of the key chain. No. Actually, if you think of recently, I'm talking of, let's say, a generation before your parents.
Yeah.
Up until a generation before your parents. When you look at your parents' generation, some of our mothers started working small.
Yeah.
But it was always regarded as the woman support. You see, they always use the word as supporting.
Yeah.
But in our world right now, it's man that is supporting. Yeah. But in our world right now, you see that a lot of times, a lot of women are even earning more. So you see a man say, my wife can't earn more than me. When you finish, calm down. You see, you know sometimes, when people are doing you from your local government, they are not loud about it. You just act. Yeah, you see, even some of us that are refined our minds are being refined. You know, it will take you a thought, it will take you a millisecond to step back when you see your wife earning more than you. That's culture imposed on you. Right? So a lot of women now make it, you know, balance. You know, so you want to just become someone's top boy. Just say, and this is the standard for people watching Plato. My darling. You will be my darling, not my darling. Monday, Wednesday, Friday for you. Monday, Wednesday, Friday for you. Thursday, Tuesday, Saturday for me. Sunday we'll do together. I'm coming from you. Everything is equal. Everything is equal. Equal. Until it's time to nail something on the wall. Until it's time to wash under the car of the town. Until I'm going to do something to you very soon. Praise God. When I do it, I'll come back and tell you all that you're my witness. You get the point? Yeah? So, as a man as well, you don't stay in your house and you just load the
room.
They bring you water to wash hands. They bring soap. You bring them, ask them to go and bring soap. They bring the soap, they drop you, say you prefer money fresh. They serve the food. They use 5 plates to serve food. One for fish, one for meat, one for the soup, one for the stew, then another flax for the rice. Then spare plates to remove the bone. Right? And you see you see your wife. Your wife is doing everything. She pounds the yam, she does the amala, she does the spaghetti bolognese, she does everything, she toasts the bread. And she's like, oh wow, oh you cooked? Right? There's nothing wrong in you assisting in the house.
Yeah.
Let me say it publicly, in case you don't know. My wife is dead here. Should I say it? Yeah? When it comes to house chores, she's the one that supports me. I am the woman. I am the chef. You see, on Friday, as soon as I finished eating at 9 o'clock, you see, as I was sweating and everything, I stood up from 9 o'clock till 2. What was I doing in the kitchen? She was snoring. Yeah, she supports me, but support is 0.5. Out of 100. What am I trying to say to you? Why am I saying these things to you? You look at your pastor as a model. If you come to my house, you will see a model to follow. I cook over 90% of the time in my house. I take care of the house, I clean the house, I sweep the house, I do everything in the house. Because I can't imagine just saying, because you are a woman, This is a work. Sweeping is for a woman. Plate washing is for a woman. Very good at capturing everything that has been done. Bless your heart, sanctify that. Once you just clean the kitchen and step out. Once you step in, blessed. Alhamdulillah. But what am I saying? When you pay attention to God's word, it will refine your thinking.
Yep.
I'm not doing it to prove a point to her.
Yep.
I'm doing it out of love, mm-hmm. and sacrifice for another believer who is my wife. Emphasis. Are we together? Before you guys start doing it for other believers. Who are you not married to? The pastor is doing it for other believers. Who is my wife? One and only. Emphasis. Get the point.
Yeah.
You see, don't just be that man. I don't look for that. I know I don't have any man who I'm discipling that's like that. You just sit down in the living room, they sat, they put and they don't even need to pack it. When they finish packing, you still have them to send for floss. You know what floss is?
Yeah.
Please bring floss. And you don't know where your kitchen is. Right? It's that cultural thing. So that's what makes women want to stand up. I'll show you. I'm wanted at work. Just wait. They'll be working hard at work. What they're looking for is against you. They'll say they should resume at 9. They'll resume at 7. So that they'll get promotion. Just to come and deal with you. Yeah? You and your wife, you have a baby. To feed the baby, your wife. To clean for the baby, your wife. When the baby is crying, your wife. When it's time to snap picture, my child. My child, you pose with your child, you go and invite photographer. Yeah, so you must ensure that you don't allow the cultural bias of this world shield you from being selfless. Don't make the world make you, because everything is selfishness.
Yeah,
there's an ego you are trying to protect, both for genders. Right? Just ensure you allow God's word to keep renewing your mind. Keep renewing your mind. Keep renewing your mind. Hallelujah. So finally, not my finally from the Bible. Finally, chapter 3. Finally, my brother, we just had a lot to write to see the same thing. So I'm in verse 5. Second time on the 8th day. Right? That's culture. Is that true?
Yes.
Of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of what?
Benjamin.
So if you trace Paul's lineage, he goes back to Jacob.
Yes.
Is that not true? Because Benjamin,
a
child of Jacob, are you getting the point? Yeah. So it means Paul traces back to
Abraham.
Are you following?
Yeah.
Right? So he says, if any man thinketh that he have whereof him and have flesh, I'm in verse 8, verse 5. An Hebrew of the Hebrew, as touching the law, I'm a Pharisee. Mm-hmm. That means an expert when it comes to the doctrine and teaching of the law.
Yeah.
He says, concerning zeal, I'm zealous.
Mm-hmm.
If one then persecuting the church, as touching the righteousness which is in the law, I am what? Blameless. But what things were gained to me, those are counted what? Loss. Yet I place account all things but loss for the excellency of what? The Lord. So what is Paul talking about? Two different worlds. One world is about the righteousness by what? Works. Another is righteousness by faith. Yeah, we saw that on Friday. He says, yet I place an account all things. Can someone please work on this AC? I'm getting stuff right. Or is it just me? Just me. Okay, I won't increase it more. I'll just put on 18. Yeah, sorry, I didn't get any stuff here. Okay? So, it says, but what things were gained to me, those are counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the what? Excellency. So, what is Paul saying? There's a righteousness of works. There's a righteousness of faith. Paul says, if I were to embrace righteousness by works, I will excel in that. I can brag about righteousness by works. But he's saying, I'll rather count it as loss so that I might embrace righteousness by faith. Are we together? Now, mind you, he didn't say it is loss. He says, I will count it as loss. There's a difference. Are we together? If me and you are playing a game, and we're playing, maybe let's say FIFA 24, right? And I beat you 5 times. I can say I will count one of the defeats that I gave you as a win. It means that, or I'll count one of my victory against you as a loss. So I would say, if somebody should ask us, how many times did I beat you? Instead of me to say 5 times, I would say 3 times. It didn't change the fact that I beat you 5 times. Yeah. Right? So Paul says, I will count for loss. So it means, circumstance of the 8 day, Hebrew of Hebrew, from the tribe of Benjamin, zealous, passionate person. I can count all those things, but rather, I will consider them as loss. As loss. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Are we together? Right? Look at what it says in verse 11, verse 8, sorry. Yea, that I count all these things, but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and who count them for dung. The word there, dung, is excretia, excretia. You know what rubbish means? Yes, rubbish. So Paul says, I will consider it as rubbish. After all, righteousness are like a filthy rag. Have you? Yeah? I'll consider it as rubbish. So look at that I may win. What is to win Christ? Is it to embrace? Is it to be a partaker of? To be a part of? Right? So Paul is not saying win Christ as a trophy on the last day. Are we here? Because he's talking about realities of the now. Righteousness by faith, righteousness by works. He now says in verse 9, so that I'll be found in him. So to win Christ in verse 8 is to be found in him in verse 9. Is that a future tense? Was that future to Paul? Was that future to Paul? To be found in Christ. So was Paul found in Christ?
Yes.
And so was to be found in Christ. When Paul says to be found in Christ, is that a future?
Yes.
No, it's not future. It's something that has happened already. He's already found in Christ. So when he says that I may win Christ, has he won Christ?
Yes.
Because he's talking about his reality at the time. He says that I may win Christ, right, and be found in him, not having my own what? Righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith. So he's teaching about righteousness of the law and righteousness of faith in Christ. He says the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. So to know him, is it to be found in him? To know him, is it to be found in him?
Yes.
Okay, that means you are still where we're supposed to have left. Because to be found in him, you're not seeing found in him as a future thing he wants to be a partaker of. That is why people praise that I may know him. Are you following? Yeah? So that I may know him is not a future thing. It is something that is done. So that I may know him in verse 10 is equal to that I may win him in verse 8. So is win, will win, or won?
One.
Because he's talking about two phases of his life. Right? So imagine I say it this way. Right? I left the house this morning so that, listen to me carefully. I left the house this morning so that I will get to church for 9 o'clock. Listen to me. I left the house this morning so I could get to church for 9 o'clock. I left the house early this morning so I can get to church for 9 o'clock. So that I can get to church for 9 o'clock. Listen to so that I can. If you hear me say so that I can get to church for 9 o'clock now, without the context, is that a future tense? It's future now. Without the context. If all you pick is so that I will get to church for 9 o'clock, you know why? Because it's another 9 o'clock this evening. Are we together? So I can say that I will get to church for 9 o'clock is a future thing. But when I gave that context of I left the house so that I can get to church for 9 o'clock, I left the house, put it in context. So it means it's a previous. So have I got to church for 9 o'clock?
Yes.
So when I talk about 9 o'clock at church, is it now past tense?
Yes.
But when I'm reporting it, is it past tense?
No.
Do you understand? When I'm reporting it, I'm not sounding as though it's past tense if you take it in isolation without the context.
Yeah.
But if you bring the context into it and to look at where I am right now, I got to church for 9 o'clock. But look at me. This is 12 o'clock. I'm saying to you that I left the house at 9 o'clock, early this morning so that I could get to church for 9. So that I could get to church. So Paul is saying, I left the righteousness of faith so that I may win Christ.
Righteousness
of work, sorry. Yeah? Righteousness of the law. Right? So I left the righteousness of the law so that I may win Christ. So if Paul is saying it today, is it past tense? It's past tense. Let me say it differently. I left the righteousness of works that I may know him. It's still a past tense. So that means it was not a prayer for Paul. Are you following? So to win Christ in verse 8 is to be is what? So what is to be found in him in verse 9? Is that true?
Yes.
And is it to know him in verse 10?
Yes.
So was Paul praying?
No.
So Paul is saying, I left this so that I may know him. No prayer. Is it clear?
Yeah.
Is it clear? And the power of, so is it now an identification with the power of resurrection?
Yeah.
Yes, because he is now what? Known him. He has now won Christ. He's now found in him. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So he's not teaching two different concepts. Are we together? Look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians 1. Verse 9. He says, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more. So can love abound yet more and more?
Yeah.
So is that a continuous thing?
Yeah.
So can we pray about it?
Yeah.
It's continuous.
Yes.
Let us assume Paul says, I pray that I may know him. That changes the narrative of Philippians 3:10. Because it's now a prayer point he is making in order to know. But what he is discussing is not as much relationship, but stand with Christ. Let me say that differently. What he's discussing is not as much progressive relationship, but relationship by status. Mm. Are we together? What is relationship by status? By status, is that what status? Status. Anyone? Status. Okay. Yeah. So by status, Jesus is your father. God is your father, right? You are God's child. But is there an ongoing reality?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an ongoing reality. That is why you are in church today. So the fact that you are God's child is an eternal state forever. But as God's child, knowledge did not come in the totality when you became born again. You increase in knowledge. You grow in knowledge. You get better in knowledge. So Paul is not addressing two faces of his knowledge life. He's addressing two faces of his states. One boasting in the righteousness of works. One boosting the righteousness of what? Righteousness by faith. Are you following today? So it's very, very important to understand that the Bible needs to be read holistically. Go to James chapter 4. Let me show you another one today. All I'm doing is to teach you how to read the Bible. James 4. James 4:3. How many of you know that scripture when it says you ask and receive not because you ask amiss?
Yeah.
You know people use it for prayer. Mm-hmm. Is that true? The reason why you've not received is because you are asking God amiss. Mm-hmm. The question is, how do you know the one that is not amiss? Are you following? Look at James 4:3. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. They say, okay. I remember I heard someone give an example of this probably about 10 years ago. And the person said, if you have $1 billion, right, and you had a child who was age 12, and they asked you to buy a Rolls Royce for him, will you buy it?
No.
For a child that is 10 years, will you buy it?
No.
So if your child should ask you, what is he doing?
I'm
you know, in that kind of meeting, you say, So it means if I ask God for something today, he doesn't give me. It's not the right time. You know, I we used to teach that God has three answers when you pray to him.
Yes.
Like, sister told me, what are the answers Jesus God has when you pray to him in those days?
Yes, no,
wait. I knew she would know it. I just knew she would know it. Yeah? Yeah? You say, if you pray to God, God has three answers. He either gives you yes or says no, my daughter. Or says, wait a bit. Altogether. Yeah. So we've grown up learning that or having that understanding. Right? So by the time you met that one with asking amiss, you'd be like, my child is 10 years old. How will I give my child? You see, there's some things God will keep away from you because he loves you.
Mm.
And because you love your child, you won't give your child a Rolls Royce because he's 10, even though you have the money.
Mm.
You know, because we say that, oh, because for the Bible says, ask, it shall be given unto you. Seek, you shall find, knock. Thou shalt be opened unto you. Bible says, if a father can take care of his child,
how much more?
Oh, glory. Some of them now rub tongues with it. Upronta shanaka sakata. Oh, how much more? Yeah? The Bible teaches, ask, it shall be given unto you, right? Seek, you shall find. Knock, shall be opened unto you. Right? How? Let's go there. Matthew. You're in James, right? Go to Matthew. Matthew 7, 7. There was a brother we knew like that in church that time. That was his nickname. Matthew 7, 7. Ask, it shall be given. Seek, you shall find. Are you in Matthew 7, 7?
Yes.
Let's read Matthew 7, 7 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Are we all there? Let's read together as a family. Matthew 7, 7. 1, 2, 3, go. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If we go back to verse 7, look at the word ask. What's the first letter of the word ask?
A.
Okay. What's the first letter of the word seek? S. What's the first letter of the word knock?
K.
What is? Why you merge it together? What does that become? So what's more important? Asking. The Bible says you ask and you receive not. Because you ask amiss. What are you asking God for today? All heads bow, all eyes closed. Francis, all heads bow, all eyes closed. You want to consume it, but you're lost. You want to brag. Do you know that what I just taught you is grammar? Is that grammar?
No.
Ask, seek, knock. The first letter of each word. Did you get it before I showed you? Ask Rema. See, God deals with people who ask more. Just ask. He owns 1,000. So you can make scripture and say nonsense with confidence. That can be spelled on the background doesn't mean what is being said is right. If I'm more often than not, once you play piano and push strings, you confuse the audience. I'm not even, you play piano and string, you don't want to sleep. You feel sleepy now. So what the piano does to you is it knocks one part of your brain. I'm just joking, don't mind me. It knocks one part of your brain. You can't think more. Everything just says, Rema. Did you see that Rema pastor drop this morning? So what did he say? He said, ask, A. Seek, S. Knock,
K.
I'm going to ask crowd this week. Abi, did I go to WhatsApp status? I'm going to preach the message. Anyways, they are still better than people who don't preach at all. Catch us up. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. Praise God forever. Don't mind you. Yeah, so it says, or what man is there of you, verse 9, who if his son should ask for bread, will he give him stone? If your son asks for fish, will he give you serpent? No, you will not now. Look at what it says in verse 11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give what? Good things to them that... You see, that's verse 11 now makes my rema solid.
Yeah.
Because it didn't say to them that ask and seek and knock.
No.
It says to them that ask. Because asking is more important. ASK. Now, it says, your heavenly Father will give what? Good things. Look at the book of Luke, chapter 11. Look at Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke 11, verse 9. Let me be sure you... Let me see if you are following. Look at Luke, chapter 11, verse 9. Are you there?
Yeah.
What do you have in your Bible? And I say unto you,
ask,
you shall be given. Is that the same thing we read? Seek, you shall find. Knock, you shall be opened. Is that true?
Yeah.
Look at verse 10. For everyone that what? Asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, shall be opened. If a man, if a son should ask for bread from his father, will he give him stone? Is that the same thing?
Yeah.
Is that what you read in Matthew?
Yeah.
If he asks for fish, will he give him a serpent?
Yeah.
If he asks for egg, will he give him a scorpion? Let's read verse 10 together. 1, 2, 3, go. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father
give the Holy Spirit to them that ask
him. Give the what?
Holy Spirit.
What did Matthew call it?
Good things.
So what is the good thing?
The Holy Spirit.
Is it clear now? So what Matthew called good thing in Matthew 7, Luke makes it clear, and it says the context of the good thing is the Holy Spirit. So when it says you being evil, now in their world, evil does not mean someone that is terrible. Are you with me? The word evil in the Greek and you know in the Middle Eastern world and Bible world does not mean someone that is you are evil. How will you keep somebody you are evil? No. When he says you being a man, you are evil, he's not saying everybody on earth is evil. No, he's just saying that man is unstable. The word evil means to be unstable. Is man really unstable? Yes, now. You love somebody today, you don't love tomorrow again. You're not doing. And you say that your doing is your stability. Are we together? Right? So he's saying if man can be unstable, yet man in his instability will give his child food to eat, bread to eat, fish to eat, egg to eat. How much more God, who is stable? Are you here? Is God stable? So because God is stable, you are sure that if he says, if man believes, he gets the spirit, man will get the spirit. Because God is not a stable, unstable one who goes back on his words. He sees it and he sticks to it. So, Jesus is teaching, you as unstable as you are, your child cannot ask you for meat and you give them scorpion. You are as unstable as you are, your child cannot ask you for bread and go and cook stone. Mind you, people cook stone. All together. It's not a laughing matter. People cook stone. All together. I heard of the story of a woman who didn't have money and the children and the children wanted to wanted the children to eat just once in a day or something like that. And what the woman did was she went to go and pack stones and started cooking them in the pot and cover the pot. So that when the children are asking for food, you say, don't worry, food is cooking. But the woman has a time in her mind where she wants them to eat the food so it will last them till the next day. Yeah, people are going through. All together. So once they say, mommy, I'm hungry. See the pot, see firewood. Fire is cooking. And the stone that is inside. But she has one meal to give them at the end of the day. So rather than having three meals a day, you have just one. Yeah, so I'm just trying to say, well, no matter if you say man does not give bread in place of stone. It's not necessarily. Yeah. But what he's saying is that no matter how unstable man thinks, your intention is not to feed your child with stone when they ask for bread. If he then been even know how to give good things, how much will your Heavenly Father give to you the what? The Holy Spirit. So ask, seek, knock. Is that a narrative for anything on the earth?
No.
You should be mature enough to know in the very few years of living that it's not everything you ask God for, he will give you. You can't ask God for my wife. Me, I will not answer you. How do you get that? Yeah? Yeah, you can't ask God for it. And that's why covetousness that comes into the church.
Yeah.
Right? Covetousness that comes into the church. That's why I always tell you, be careful of the compliments you give yourself, even in the local church. Because you don't know what another person is hearing. Mm. Somebody wore new clothes. Another person wore new clothes. But you only saw one person's new clothes. So, this clothes is fine, though. But you now say, but I want new clothes too. Nobody said anything. So what the best thing for you to do is just enter church and say, all your clothes are fine, oh. All your clothes are fine, oh. Yeah, but what am I saying to you? I'm saying, the Bible is not teaching, ask God for anything. God, I need a private jet tomorrow, deadline. The way we view life, this is my car. And I'm not trying to say there's no place of experiencing faith and trying to be a man of faith and believing God for things. Yes, you can be a man of faith, but you must understand that in the world you are in, there are so many factors involved.
Yeah.
Lord, this car, as I go into the office and I come back, this car tomorrow, the new version, the new
the
model.
New.
My decision of the new. The Bible says, whatever you ask. So people are covetous. Somebody buys a new car or something, go and lay and say, I covet. I covet. I tap, I receive. You know, I wish people get things by tapping. Me, the things I've tapped. The things I've tapped in this life, I've tapped. Yeah, I remember a few years ago when, this is probably like a decade ago, my dad took me to a man. Let me not call his name. He was a pastor with the American preachers. You know, interestingly, a lot of American preachers have a lot of, they have a lot of materialism at the background of their teaching. I have private jets. Oh, I have £1 million. I have $2 billion. I have $500 million. Yeah, that's not what we brag about.
Mm.
We gotta brag about a man saying, I was once a liar, I don't lie again.
Yep.
Not because they will take me to prison, but because I'm experiencing the love of God in my heart. That's the true, genuine proof of transformation, of what? Progress in ministry. Material things are good. It's okay to have, yeah, you have a house, have a car. But everything you have, they don't save anything in the world. With everything you have, they don't rate in the world. People they rate are those that are not believers. It should shock you now. Look at all of us, man. We're sweating under AC in church on Sunday. We're going back to work on Monday. And what they're talking about is how they went to a party over the weekend. You are in church. You understand? No, so life has its own dynamics. It's good to be a woman of faith, man of faith, but you must understand where contentment comes in.
Yes, sir.
I remember I've taught you, contentment is not that I have bread today, tomorrow it might be rice. Contentment is in the fact that Jesus on my inside today is Jesus on my inside tomorrow. The same yesterday, today, today, and forever. That's where your contentment comes from. A lot of us think contentment is, if I cannot afford this phone today, I'll afford it tomorrow. Let me be content. That's not it. Because the truth is that if you have an opportunity to steal, you might steal it. Altogether. So you must understand Bible words are should be used. Bible words. When the Bible says, ask shall be given. You know, some of us use that scripture in Matthew 6. Seek ye first the kingdom and what?
All.
Say all. The Bible says all. Say all. Keep on listening. I say, bang, bang. For the Bible says, things, not some things, not many things, all they say, all. Sit up a moment. I miss those days. Oh my goodness. Sometimes I say, why am I trying to do that? I miss those kind of days. When you come in charged, just speak. You know, you just need one verse to flog the entire 1 hour. One verse. You will say it differently, mix it up, just mesh it together. And we'll be sweating. They're receiving the word. So all of us go to seek it first, the kingdom of God and the righteousness and all things shall be added unto you. Bible says all. Not some. All. The same Bible says all things are mine. Say all things are yours.
All things are mine.
Do you see how I'm picking verses of the Bible to preach to you? Where am I coming from? James 4. I'm just trying to explain asking amiss. Can you see how many ask we've got to look at now? We see how many seek we are seeking. We are still knocking. You get the point? So you must understand that the Bible needs to be approached in a Bible way. Don't let someone just say anything over here and just receive it because the person, I can always tell you, yeah, not just because I'm the one in front. That's why I always tell you, open your Bible. Come to church with your writing materials. Take notes. Go back home and ask. Pastor said this and that, but that does not make sense here and there. Then you can call pastor and say, Pastor, this thing you said, I'm trying to reason with it. But you see, the mistake you can make a lot of times is just assume that because you didn't know that before, pastor is wrong by default. That's what we do a lot in our world. Something that is new to us, we just assume it is wrong because we didn't know it before. Altogether. So, when it says seeking first kingdom of God, you know the Bible is not teaching that follow Jesus and things will be following you. No. No. Amen. No. So, what do people do? Some people are seeking. Some people, that's their favorite scripture. But they are seeking the things. It's bad though they are using. You know when you want to enter a house, instead of using the front door, you go and use the back. What's your goal? You still want to enter the house. Eh? It's money you are looking for. But you see, I say, Pastor, what you need can I join in the local church? I see that everybody is already doing everything. But my heart is with you. Pastor, my heart is with you. Pastor, my heart is with you. You know, start coming earlier than everybody. You come to church, all the chairs are already arranged. You pack everything outside. And now bring them in. As that arranging them again. That's mean, you know, Pastor will get them at 9 o'clock. Just come here around 8:45. My brother, that's how we see you too. And what is on your mind? There's a contract I'm waiting for on Wednesday. God, if this one does not come, we're at the same trouser. They're telling God like that. So what are you really doing? Is the contract that's on your mind? Is the job that's on your mind? Is the car that's on your mind? Is it the house that's on your car? You're just using front door, back door. For the Bible assures me if I seek. For they that seek him early in the morning, they shall find him. Now, so go back to James chapter 5. Are we still in church today? Everything okay? Everything going well? Look at James 4, right? So it says, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. So, what principle can we apply here? Let me just tell you, what principle can we apply here to explain this? Reading in context. That means we go back to previous verses to see how you can start the narrative. Is that true? Yeah? So can we go back to verse 2? Ye lust and have not. Is that okay? Fair, but it's not the best. From where comes wars and fighting? Is that okay? It's still okay, but it looks like a narrative you jump to the middle of. Right? So let me just help you. So go back all the way to verse 1. Let's read verse 1. Chapter 3, sorry. Let's quickly have a rundown. We'll be out of here in a few minutes, okay? James chapter 3, verse 1, my brethren. Be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all, but if any man offend not in words, the same is what? Perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also as a sheep, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they torn about with a very small what? Helm, whithersoever the governor what? Listeneth. Even so, the tongue is a little member of boasted great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire. Is that true?
Yeah.
A word of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it sets on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and birds and serpents and things in the sea is tamed, and had been tamed of mankind. Look at verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith blessed be God, even the Father, and therewith cursed we men, we are made after the image of God. Now look at verse 10. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. What has it done from verse 1 to verse 9? He has laid the foundation for what the tongue can do. It now says verse 10. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. Is that true?
Yes.
My brethren, these things ought not be so. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter water? Is it possible?
No.
A fountain is bringing sweet water and bitter water. It says, can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? That means, can you be expecting banana from a mango tree?
No.
It says, so can no fountain both yield salt water and so you don't get salt water and fresh water from the same fountain. What is it teaching? There are two opposite things that should not be found from your mouth. There are two opposite conducts that should not be found from you as a believer. It now says, who is a wise man and endure with knowledge? Verse 13, among you. Let him show out a good what? Conversation. His works with meekness and what? Wisdom. Look at verse 14. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your heart, what did he say? Glory ye not and lie not against the truth. So what is he addressing? Bitterness. Envy. For where envy and strife is, verse 16, there is what? Confusion and every evil work. Look at verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruit, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Is that good?
Yes.
So is James discussing good conduct, bad conduct? He's discussing both. He's discussing both good conduct, bad conduct. So good conduct involves peace, gentle, easily entreatable, is that true, without partiality. What is bad conduct then?
Envy, strife.
Lie against the truth, bitterness,
hypocrisy.
Are you with me? Look now, so let's now read it into verse 18. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace that make peace. From whence comes wars and fighting? Does that make sense? Is wars and fighting under the category of envy, bad conduct, envy, hypocrisy, lying, strife? Yeah, because it's out of strife and envy that people fight.
Yes.
So Paul is saying a fountain that is bringing out sweet water should bring out sweet water alone. So who is Paul teaching using fountain? Who is Paul teaching about using fountain? It's still about the believer now. Right? That as a believer, you shouldn't be one that has a mixture of sweet and bitter water, salt and fresh water. As a believer, you should be one who has fresh water and fresh water alone. If it's salt, let it be salt alone. Right? So fresh water will be what he calls wisdom from above, which is peaceable, gentle, and everything. Then a contaminated water is envy, hypocrisy, lies, strife, and unlikes. So Paul is now asking a rhetorical question. He says, so where does war and fighting among you? Where comes wars and fighting? Come they not hence, even of the lusts that war in your members? So it means that these are products of lustful desires, not product of the root of the fountain. Did you get that? The believer's root and source does not bring forth envy. So if a believer is partaking in envy, is out of their lust, they partook of it and brought it upon themselves and they're exhibiting it. Are you following? Is it making sense? Right? So he says, ye lust, right? Ye have not. What is the lust is explaining? Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. So it means that the envy and the strife is not something you obtain from your reality in Christ. So, can a believer in Christ walk in envy? How does a believer in Christ walk in envy? He draws it from outside and brings it on his inside, then exhibits it. That's lust. Yeah? That means you are not deriving contentment and satisfaction from that which you have. You are lusting. When we say a married man is lusting after another woman, what does that mean? He is not content with the one he has in his house. So he's deriving, desiring pleasure from outside that relationship that he has with his partner. Wife, particularly. You get the point? That's why a man. Yeah? He says, ye ask. Look at verse 2 again. Ye lust and have not, ye kill, desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye what? Ask not. Now the word they ask there is not as much making a request, but it's the Greek word that means to desire something. Are you with me? The word they ask does not mean, please help me ask Sister Steph for her Bible. No. That is, you are making a request. Are we together? You know, I've told you before, when the Bible is not. So, from what we read in chapter 3, did he mention anything about prayer? Did James say anything about prayer? So, is James teaching prayer? No. So, when he says, he ask and I ask amiss, it's not a prayer point. It's not a prayer conversation. Are you following? So, he says, he ask, right, and you receive not. What's the word they ask? Desire. So, read desire there. You desire and receive not because you desire a believer. Who is trying to pick envy from outside of himself? What is that? A lustful desire that is outside, that is amiss. Yeah. Are you following? Yeah? So he says, ye ask and receive not. That means he's saying, these desires are not from the Spirit of God. Because he taught you from Ephesians, in James chapter 1 already. He says, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, which there is no variableness. Of his own will begat he us. So we have been begotten by the blood of the Lamb, and there are desires that need to be expected from the believer. Desires like what? Fruit of the Spirit. Yeah? Peace, gentleness, easy to be introduced, full of mercy, good food. So if you are somebody who doesn't forgive easily, that desire is a lustful thing you took from outside of your relationship with Christ. If you are somebody who is envious of another person, it is not a fruit in Christ. You desired, and your desire was outside the relationship with Christ, so it's a desire that is amiss. So it says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that you may, what?
Consume
it. Upon. So those things you are desiring, they are amiss. And what is your goal for desiring them? To consume upon your lust. He now goes further in verse 4. Now listen, ye adulterers and adulteresses, in our world, who's an adulterer? No, say someone. No. A man. Who's an adulteress?
A woman
that is cheating on her husband. Who's an adulterer? A man cheating on his wife. Is James talking marriage? He can't be talking marriage. So if he calls them adulterers, listen to what I'm about to show you. He says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of this world is enmity with God? So who is an adulterer? A believer who desires amiss. An adulterer. I'm not saying a man that cheats on his wife today is not adulterer. He's a pastor saying, you cheat on your wife, I'm not adultery. He's not adultery. That's what I'm saying. You see, Jesus will look at the people and say, oh, adulterous generation. He's not saying they were full of men that were sleeping with other people's wives. No! Adultery, in Bible language, you know what the Bible says? It says marriage is honorable with the bed undefiled. That means the believer is in a union with Christ, in a marital bed. Don't derive satisfaction from another bed. Don't look for another woman that is not on the same bed with you. Listen to me carefully. Before you go and say that another man is a Christian. Yeah? He's saying, so for me not to be adulterous, it means I don't derive satisfaction from another woman who is not my wife.
Yeah.
The believer, as the bride of the church, as the bride of Christ, the bride of Christ, we don't derive satisfaction outside the union we have with Christ. Because Christ is married to us.
Yes.
There's a marriage bed of resurrection. Mm. We are right on that bed. Mm. On that bed, what comes from that bed is gentleness,
yes,
peace, yes, meekness, readily forgive and treatable.
Yes.
You have mercy on people.
Yes.
The moment you are envious, it is that you are on the bed, you are stretching your hand to the floor,
yes,
to pick something that is not on your bed.
Mm.
Then you stay on the bed, then you are displaying envy, you are displaying strife. What did James call them? Say you are an adulterer. Because you are deriving satisfaction from the bed, outside the marriage bed, with Christ Jesus. What did you do? We just read the context.
Yeah.
Simple. So you see, he's not praying.
Yeah.
James is not teaching prayer. He's not praying in chapter 5. Look at chapter 5. He says verse 14, verse 13. Is there any among you that is afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. And let them what? Pray. This prayer here is what? Prayer. Are we together? Yeah? And anoint him with oil. That's a cultural thing. So anoint him with oil. Let me tell you something. When the Bible uses oil to speak about a way of ministering to the sick, it's a cultural practice that is medicinal.
Yeah.
What did we go to that we're drinking oil like people that wanted to fry plantain? Morocco, right? Olive oil. That they pour oil like this. We're just drinking oil. They don't take cholesterol in your body. So, we're drinking oil. That oil is medicinal. So, when the Bible speaks about oil, it is, you know, in our world, we use oil. We just touch one. You touch in the olive bottle. You put it in the ground. That is not medicinal. You have now picked their culture that is medicinal as a practice and has nothing. Because when a Jewish man uses oil, the kind of oil we use would have a medicinal benefit to his body.
Yeah.
You are now taking their oil, you are chatting Goya, you are buying different sizes of bottles. You say it's anointed oil. And what you do, if you want you to be really functional, drink the bottle.
Mm.
This is where they gave us bread and oil to be drinking. So it says, if a man is sick, let the elders pray and anoint him with the oil in the name of the Lord. Look what it says in verse 15. And the prayer of the faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. If he have committed sins, thou shalt then be forgiven. Now look at verse 16. Let me show you another one. It says, confess your fault one to another. Amen?
Amen.
Confess your fault one to another. Is he saying, if you lied yesterday, go and meet Sister Tandy?
Yes.
Sister Tandy wants to know where there's lying in God's palace. Sister Tandy, there's something I want to say. The Bible says, you know, I'm standing on the written word. He says, confess your fault one to another. Confess your fault one to another. Stand it. Please don't tell anybody. Let it be between me and you. You don't know that person. Stand there as well to ask somebody that is private to her. So that if you now go and tell the other person, the other person will now say, the person says, I should not tell anybody. Let it be between me and you and God. Before you know it, everybody knows your gist. Minus you. He says, confess your fault one to another and pray one another that ye may be what? Healed. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man. I feel it. Hallelujah. I feel it.